Hello everybody, welcome to another episode of BitNote with David Collins, where we'll be playing video game music and talking about the games that they're from. Hope you enjoy! So, to start the show off, I've got some somewhat ambient music, and in fact a lot of the music here will be pretty ambient. In fact, a lot of the music on the show tends to be pretty ambient. But, it's from an adventure game that I played a while back, and the music really gives a sense of that unsettling ambience. But have a listen. And that music there was the background music for The Bedroom from the video game Out of Order by Hungry Software. The music was composed by Galactic Fump and the three Frank Harlins, and I believe also Tim Furnish. Tim Furnish being the main guy behind the game. So, Out of Order was a fun little game. It's a fun, colourful point-and-click adventure game that was released around 2004 and completely created by an independent game developer who not only made the game itself, but also tried to make it as like an entire like adventure game creation program that would let other people create adventure point-and-click adventure games just like Out of Order. There are actually a couple of other software programs that let people create their own adventure games. There's the Wintermute Engine and the Adventure Game Studio, but to get back on the original point, Out of Order was released. It is free download on the internet, and it is a fun game. It is bright, colourful, got lots of little things going. Like every single adventure game, sometimes you're not quite sure what you're meant to be doing next, but you push onward, you meet a lot of fun characters, and a bit of fun puzzle solving, and a pretty nice plot that takes a bit to get going, but once you start getting into it, it really drags you in. The whole game is basically, you're a typical English bloke who's living with his mum, and one night he gets up with a storm going on outside, wonders what exactly is going on, and but ends up feeling a little peckish, decides to head down to grab something from the fridge, and basically that's the end of the game. Then we see the British bloke getting up again from his bedroom, once again having been awoken by the storm, and then suddenly with a flash of light and that feels almost tingly, he suddenly notices that the storm stops and everything seems still. And he's kind of wondering what's going on. So he goes out of his room and suddenly it seems there's a gigantically different world out there. For lack of a better word, it seems like his bedroom now seems to connect to some gigantic prison system. And not only that, but when he finally manages to get out of the prison system, he finds himself in a strange world populated by strange beings with a strange system going on, and he can't quite figure out what the heck is going on. Something is clearly out of order, and the purpose of the game is just to try to navigate this crazy world, talk to a bunch of extremely eccentric characters, do some fairly fiendish puzzle solving, and eventually try to get to the bottom of this, figure out what's going on, and hopefully end up home. The game's a lot of fun. It's got a very nice British sense of humour to it. I think it took more than one cue from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, not only the fact that the protagonist is seen walking around in a bedroom robe, but and of course also the sci-fi humour aspect to it. But then again, it's can't really say that comedy sci-fi is strictly the domain of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, even though it did play a large role in that field. But it's kind of fun. There's a lot of interesting environments, a lot of fun characters to talk to, and the way the game ends, it has a pretty strong ending as well. I think that the ending of the game is probably stronger than some of the earlier parts to it. The music, as you can listen to, is kind of an interesting eclectic blend, all right. That's from the background of the first level. But I was looking it up when trying to find the music to that, and I found that he provided the music to some other parts of the game. And when I was reading the page, I'll quote the author on this one. The music in Out of Order has had mixed reviews. Some people seem to dislike it with a fever which I'd previously thought would only apply to stepping in things on the street, burglary, and presenters on satellite TV interactive quiz channels. However, others have loved it and specifically asked me where they can download it so that they can hear it in their own time. Previously, I've had to tell them to go away and leave them alone. However, nowadays I tell them to visit this page, which is much nicer. Well, with a guy as nice as that, I don't think that we can do anything else but play his great piece of interactive entertainment game, adventure game technology. So if anyone would like to go to that page, it's basically at the Out of Order website, which is, of course, part of Hungry Software, which is sort of like the company name he's got going for all the games and other games he produces. So yes, just to wrap things up, Out of Order, a game in which you are an English guy walking around in a bathrobe along some surroundings that could be literally called alien, and just try to figure out what the heck is going on. Alright, we're moving on to our next song now, and I have to tell you, this is a bit of a whopper. I could try to cut down this song. I believe there might even be a shorter version of this song out there, but no, you know my policy here on BitNote. Ever since some other radio station that claimed to care about music ended up playing American Pie and then fading it out before the song was finished, I have been determined that if I play a song in this radio show, I play the whole thing or none of it at all. So sit back, because this is quite an eclectic blend we've got here. I'm not quite sure exactly what genre applies to this, but let's just say, in my mind, it is the genre of music that you tend to dance to. It is from the game Lumines by Q Entertainment, and the music is I Hear the Music in My Soul. That's the title of the track. But don't worry if you forget the title. It'll be repeated a couple of times in its music itself. Here we go. All right, I hope you enjoyed that track. That was I Hear the Music in My Soul. It was composed by Shinichi Osawa, who also goes by the name Mondo Grosso, and it was performed by Iri Nobuchika. Both of those artists seem to have great long-running records and a lot of music along these lines, and they both seem to be signed up to Sony, and given the fact that this was released for the game Lumines, which was a launch title for the Sony PlayStation Portable, I suppose there's a connection there. The game itself was developed by Tetsuya Michigui, who also developed Rez and Space Channel 5, music I haven't played on the show from those things yet, but I plan to at some stage. And, of course, the game itself was developed by Q Entertainment, which Tetsuya founded after he left Sega. So Lumines is kind of a fun little game for the PSP, one of its strongest launch titles. What happened is basically you've got all these cubes, and each cube is a 2x2, and it's falling from the top of the screen. So yes, it kind of takes vague inspiration from Tetris, just like about every single video game that has things falling from the top of the screen is said to take after Tetris, despite the fact it might have completely different gameplay mechanics. But people just keep saying it's like Tetris because it's got blocks falling from the top of the But essentially, each of those is basically a square, a 2x2 square, and each of the four little squares in the big square can be one of two colours. Long story short is you've got to connect at least four of these squares together in order to make these disappear. And that sounds pretty straightforward, well it is, but like in any of these sort of games, the blocks keep coming, you have to land them on the bottom, they build up, but you have to keep making sure that they connect to each other, cancel each other out, and gradually, no matter how high and fast it builds out, you've got to collapse it down. Honestly, this game can get really hypnotic. I remember getting really into this game when you really push it. When the blocks go flying down, you just have to think lightning fast. Where does the block go? How many times do I rotate the block? Where do I put it? You spin it around, and in the background, you've got all this like really funky technique beat music, sort of like you just heard there. And it kind of permeates your mind, but you're just flying over, just doing absolutely everything you can possible. I've actually got pretty good memories of this game because by pure chance, right around when this game was coming out and I got the PSP and everything, I ended up going to this gaming convention in America, and boy, it was like a really big gaming convention. Because a lot of people there were really into games, a lot of them also had a PSP and a copy of Lumines, so I ended up starting this thing where I just could go around and just have multiplayer games with everyone else, and it was really cool. They would, so I'd just be going around, and you know, I had the PSP and then meet someone and then would suddenly agree to have a game. So it started up, and the two PSPs would connect to each other wirelessly, PlayStation Portables, and then I'd just really get into the game. And I mean, like, when you're playing with other people, it's a whole different dynamic. There's not just some robotic standard or some arbitrary goal. There is a person, a physical being right across to you who you have to do absolutely everything to prove that you're better than him at this arbitrary task of dropping down blocks and having them match colours. And boy, when that thrill, that buzz get alive, I'd go in assuming that I'd be completely beaten. Because, you know, I play games, but I'm like, I know that they are hard, really hardcore gamers out there. But I just found that spend so much time at this. But I found out that I did pretty well against these guys. I mean, like, I suppose it was a new game and not everyone had, like, it's not like there were people in there were gearing up to play the game professionally or anything. But it was just such a buzz to just know that, like, if things got tough and you upped your game, there was a chance the other guy was going to up his game in return. And just the tension, the competition, and just the thrill, it was just a blast. And that's one of the reasons I just really have good memories associated with Lumines. Well, on the subject of puzzle games that you play competitively and have a lot of fun with, I think we're going to move on to our last game. And this is one that was also competitive play, but in a whole new direction. We're talking Choo Choo Rocket. This game was released for the Sega Dreamcast in the year 2000. At least it was released in Europe in that year. Obviously, Japan's got it earlier. And essentially, it's a huge game because it was the first major game released on a console that would allow you to play online with other people. Now, of course, you'd been able to do it for many years beforehand on the PC. For instance, Counter-Strike, just to pick a random game out of my head, was a massive PC game that would let you play online. But this was with Choo Choo Rocket, this was the first time consoles had ever got to it. The Sega Dreamcast was really ahead of this game. It actually had a modem that basically allowed you to connect to the internet. And I believe it was like one of the first consoles that had built-in access, you know, that out of the box you could connect to the modem. And instantly I spent many days like browsing internet websites with it as well. Now, Sega had actually tried to be online quite a few times before. They made modem attachments not just for the previous console, the Sega Saturn, but even the original Mega Drive had this hardware attachment that would allow you to connect to online networks. And I've actually had to read up on this because I'm not sure if any of them were available in Europe. But I mean, like, I believe in one case it hooked up to satellite signals and allowed you to download video games onto your Mega Drive and all this sort of stuff. So Sega were always pretty ahead when it came to the online space, and with the Sega Dreamcast, they hit it first with just basically a built-in internet-enabled modem on your game. And of course, everyone was so excited when in the European launch, there was even these advertisements about, up to 6 billion players, I think they were, because they said that you could play with the whole world using your online-enabled Dreamcast. And then it turned out that various watchdogs in the UK ended up taking Sega to task for basically advertising a service that they didn't have, because at launch the Dreamcast didn't actually have any games that you could play online. We had to wait until Choo Choo Rocket was released, and finally we were able to play online. By this stage, Japan already had 4 drink games that they could play online, so I think it's about time to talk about the game itself. Long story short, in typical Japanese game logic tradition, your mission is to get mice to enter a rocket so that they can shoot off into outer space. In the meantime, they must avoid these cat creatures who will eat them if they touch it. And they do it in kind of a way, basically it's a 2D game, you look top down, the mice move out of their little holes or houses, and they move in a straight line, and if they hit something, they turn and move in that direction, and they'll just keep moving in that direction no matter what you do. You have to basically place arrows down on the ground, and when the mice hits the arrow, they'll move in the direction of the arrow. So you basically have to try to figure out which arrows to get where to move the mouse, basically get the mouse into their home without the cat creatures eating them. So essentially you are a mouse rescuer, and once all your mice are into the rocket will blast off, because apparently mice know how to operate spacefaring vehicles. It's a kind of a fun puzzle game, and as I said, one of the strongest advantages of it was that you could play online by using your startlingly fast 56k modem. You would be able to connect to a server that suddenly would let you play with people online. And so you'd place arrows and you try to guide all the mice to your specific rocket, but oh no, your enemy opponents could drop down their arrows and direct their mice away from your rocket and in towards theirs. So as you can see, a whole conflict arose, and it was a frantic dash in order to direct them as many mice into your rocket as possible. And then of course, if the mouse hit your rocket, then it would get very, very messy because you'd lose a whole bunch of mice. So to complicate things, every so often there'd be a special game mode activated that would last like 30 seconds for like suddenly the game might suddenly speed up really, really fast, or maybe it might slow down, or suddenly the screen might flood with all these cats. I mean, there were basically, things would get very, very frantic as you tried to lay down the arrows and try to direct your mice right towards the rockets and everything. And I know it was a fun game, and it was a good example of Dreamcast Online, but honestly, and I mean, like, I think this, I've always felt this, competing with people online is cool, and it's also fun, but it's also kind of anonymous, and I think I always genuinely preferred playing with people who's sitting right next to you, or people whose reaction you could see commands, or people who you could completely distract by nudging them, or, well, actually, I would never really nudge them. Nudging them would be, you know, against the game. I am not my brother. I wouldn't completely just push the other person in the middle of the game just to distract them, like my brother would. But the point is, there's just so much interaction, and I love it whenever a game, like, gets people literally together and competing and trading, you know, a few nice jabs, or you can talk to afterwards, or even give hints about combat, or just, you know, ask politely, do you want me just to ease up a little, which could double either as a taunt or a generally helpful command, or just basically the whole human interaction. And I just love it. I love it when games give you like a basis to really interact with other people, be it cooperatively online in arcades, or which of course have gone on, or just at home, just having a fun time messing around with each other, or even just together giving each other advice. As exciting as the prospect of playing online with other people is out there, and I've played many online games since, I think it was with Choo Choo Rocket that I first realized that playing online with other people mightn't be all it's cracked up to be. And that maybe sometimes there's just no substitute for just sitting right beside the person and having a good time together. All right, well, I guess that's the end of this episode. I'll leave you with the multiplayer theme of Choo Choo Rocket. And just to be clear on this, the music was composed by Yukifumi Makino and Tomoya Otandibai, and is from Choo Choo Rocket, developed by Sega. This episode can be downloaded and podcast from the DublinSouthFM.ie website, and we're on Twitter at BitNoteFM. This has been David Collins with BitNote. Thank you for listening.